Now we're glad to have our brother, Mr. David Gillyland, here tonight. He's one of us, he's one of ourselves. God has gifted him, and we trust that he will be helped of God in the ministry of God's word tonight.
Now we're glad to see so many. Some have travelled quite a distance and others have been here in these very concentrated days, so we appreciate all who have come tonight. And what I want to say will necessitate, I feel bad about this, but I've no way around it, quite a bit of reading. And we'll start our reading in the second book of Chronicles and chapter 16. It'll be narrative reading, so if you can follow the reading, it will help in the ministry. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, and we'll start to read at verse 7. And at that time Hanani the seer came to Asa king of Judah and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and hast not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen, yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. Then Asa was wroth with the seer, put him in a prison house, for he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people the same time. And behold, the acts of Asa, first and last, lo, they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet, until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. And Asa slept with his fathers, died in the 41st year of his reign. They buried him in his own sepulchres, which he had made for himself in the city of David, and laid him in the bed which was filled with sweet odours and divers kinds of spices prepared by the apothecary's art, and they made a very great burning for him. Now, a few pages over to chapter 21. Chapter 21, verse 1. Now Jehoshaphat slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. Jehoram his son reigned in his stead. Verse 12, there came a writing to Jehoram from Elijah the prophet, saying, thus saith the Lord God of David thy father, because thou hast not walked in the ways of Jehoshaphat thy father, nor in the ways of Asa king of Judah, but hast walked in the way of the kings of Israel, and hast made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to go a-whoring, like to the whoredoms of the house of Ahab, and also hast slain thy brethren of thy father's house, which were better than thyself. Behold, with a great plague will the Lord smite thy people. Verse 15, and thou shalt have great sickness by disease of thy bowels, until thy bowels fall out by reason of the sickness day by day. Not very pleasant reading, and I'm sure not very pleasant sickness. Verse 18, and after all this, the Lord smote him in his bowels with an incurable disease. And it came to pass that in process of time, after the end of 2 years, his bowels fell out by reason of his sickness. So he died of sore diseases, and his people made no burning for him like the burning of his fathers. 32 years old was he when he began to reign. He reigned in Jerusalem 8 years and departed without being desired. Howbeit they buried him in the city of David, but not in the sepulchres of the kings. Now chapter 26, we're nearly through. Chapter 26, and this is about King Uzziah, verse 16. But when Uzziah was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God, and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men.
And they withstood Uzziah the king, said unto him, It appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honour from the Lord God. Then Uzziah was wroth, had a censer in his hand to burn incense. While he was wroth with the priests, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house, being a leper. For he was cut off from the house of the Lord, and Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Now, I'm just going to test your patience. Another reading from chapter 32, and that will be it. Chapter 32 of 2 Chronicles. And here the verse that we read is verse 24. In those days Hezekiah was sick to the death, and prayed unto the Lord, and he spake unto him, and he gave him a sign. Now that's very extensive reading, I know, and it has been very, taxing upon people's mental capacity, those who have been here. And I can assure you it will not be too deep. You can just relax now and more or less close your Bible and just take it easy. Don't relax too much, try and keep awake, and that'll help the meeting to get through. Once I say what I have to say, I'll be finished, but who knows what time that will be. people that are fond of a little bit of British history will know that this day is quite a significant day. On the year 1537, on this date, a boy was born in Hampton Court Palace. His father was a very interesting gentleman called Henry VIII. He had been feverishly looking a son for quite a number of years to secure the succession, and at last, to his great delight, on the 12th of October, 1537, his son was born. Edward, they called him, and he became Edward the Sixth, a very, very precocious young man. And when his father died in 1547, he became the King of England at the age of nine. By that time, he was able to write letters in French, was learning Spanish and Italian, and was also conversant in Greek and in Latin. He became one of England's greatest kings, and was a firm believer in the Lord Jesus. Some of his books that have been written bear testimony to that fact. He encouraged into England men who preached the gospel. But as circumstances would have it, before he was 16, he became seriously ill. His health was always indifferent. And with maybe smallpox or some of those things, maybe TB, and a little help with some poison as well, he died before his 16th birthday. His sister Mary Tudor, took over, and she was a fine lady. She drenched England with the blood of 300 men of God, Hooper and Rogers, Latimer and Ridley amongst them. Well, we feel sorry that such a noble man with such potential for the kingdom should take such an illness and should die so young. There it is. I don't want to speak tonight about the sickness of kings of Britain, but I do want to visit the royal infirmary of the Old Testament, and I want to think about some of the sicknesses that afflicted some of the kings in this second book of Chronicles. Now, I'm fairly sure that 1st and 2nd Chronicles are probably not amongst your favourite parts of the Bible for your devotional reading. They are very interesting books, and my subject will necessitate that I say just a little about them in general. They're comprehensive books. The first word of 1st Chronicles is Adam. And the last chapter of 2nd Chronicles tells us about the kingdom of Judah going down into captivity. So the books of Chronicles, they cover the broad span of Old Testament history, from creation to the captivity, or if you like, from Eden to the exile. Now, the two books are quite different in this sense, and I'm speaking again in general terms. The first book of Chronicles is an ascending story. We start off, as I say, with Adam and the sons of Noah, and then we come to the call of Abraham, and out from the descendants of Abraham, the tribe of Judah, and out from the tribe of Judah, the house of David. And the last two-thirds, a very, very sizable 18 chapters of First Chronicles, taken up with the reign of David. Now that was quite a rise from a fallen Adam until David, the man after God's own heart, sits upon the throne of Judah. Step by step, history moved forward, and the plan of God was rising stage by stage. First Chronicles is an ascending story. When we come to the second book of Chronicles, it's just the opposite. It is a descending story. We start with the great glory of the reign of Solomon, and the first quarter of the second book of Chronicles, the first 9 chapters are taken up with the illustrious record of the reign of Solomon. It goes down. And when you get to the last chapter of second Chronicles, conditions in the kingdom of Judah have become so bad that we read these chilling words. Till there was no remedy. Actually, the kingdom was so seriously sick that God himself couldn't recover it at that time. Till there was no remedy. We love to have a message of recovery, and I will be hoping to weave that into my message tonight, but there can be a point reached where recovery is impossible. And that nation gave its last few breaths, and in the coffin of the captivity, it was carried out to a burial place in Babylon. And the second book of Chronicles finishes with a nation terminally ill, dead, buried in Babylon, and we would suspect never to be heard of again. Thank God there was a resurrection. They have been dispersed another time, and there will be a further resurrection still. You might ask the question, well, if they became so terminally ill, were they never healthy? Oh, I tell you, they were healthy. They were healthy. What I have just been saying, if you read the record of Solomon's reign in the book of Chronicles, it was robust. The kingdom, I mean. It was strong. It was vibrant. It was prosperous. It was exceedingly healthy. The body politic, the body of the kingdom of Judah, was in fine fettle and in fine form. How did it become terminal? What kind of virus seemed to get into their system that just took them down stage to stage? Now that will be part of what I'll be speaking about tonight. And in the course of that declining history, there are three kings that I want to speak about who took terminally ill. And we have important lessons, I think, that we can learn from the three different illnesses of these three different kings. And the illnesses which the kings had physically were but symptomatic of some of the illnesses that were experienced by the people nationally. Now, I'll be back to those just in a minute. You might say to me, well, I don't think that a message about kings has very much to do with me. I'm not a king. Are you sure? You say, well, I'm not born into the royal family. Are you sure? According to John's Gospel, chapter 3, when you put your trust in Christ, you were introduced into the royal family. And you were born again. And you had a title to the kingdom of God. And these kings were kings because they were born into royal families. And they had royal responsibilities. You know, dear Christians, tonight I would say, we are the sons of the king. And with our royal birth, there comes royal responsibilities. The difficulty that I want to speak about is this. When these three men that I have in mind took seriously ill, they weren't able to discharge the responsibilities of their kingship. You know, you could take an illness. Maybe I should say this before I go any further, in case I do forget. When I'm speaking tonight about taking illness, I'm not thinking about saints that are physically sick. I'm thinking about spiritual sicknesses. I'm thinking about spiritual incapacities. And you know, there are certain diseases and distempers that can affect us as Christians, and they can incapacitate us to live as children of the king ought to live. Now let me tell you what those three sicknesses were. The first man was a man called Asa. And the Bible tells us that at a particular stage in his life, he became diseased in his feet. He was crippled for the last 2 years of his kingdom. Sad thing to be crippled. Not be able to walk as you should walk. Crippled. The second man that we read about is a man called Jehoram. And his problem was that his bowels were falling out. The first man's problem was at the bottom, in his feet. The second man's problem, and is very, very gruesome reading, and we'll just take it as it is in the Bible. He was told, because of certain things that I'll mention in a couple of minutes, that his bowels would fall out. He had an intestinal problem. The third man, Uzziah, didn't have a problem in his feet, and he didn't have a problem in his inwards. His problem was in his head. And the sickness which each of those men took carried each man to his grave. In fact, just a short time after Uzziah died, there was a prophet came on the scene. His name was Isaiah, and he said, you know, this nation that I'm preaching to, they are seriously ill. And you're very well acquainted with his diagnosis of the condition. He said, from the sole of the foot, that's Asa, to the crown of the head, that's Uzziah. And he said, in the middle, there's nothing but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. And when it became so sick, God said, it'll just die. You know, dear Christians, you need to watch, because we could become the victims of certain viruses. And we could become subject to certain spiritual illnesses, and if we just let them run on without attention, the whole thing could just die on us. Now, just to get to my matter immediately. A man with a problem in his feet. I wonder would we have any Christians here tonight, and I'm including myself in the number being scanned. Would there be any Christians here tonight and a problem in your feet? And you know that you're not just walking as you used to walk. You've changed direction. You're taking a different course. You know, it's a very easy thing to get a problem in your walk. And the direction of life, just not to be. In fact, even a good man like Peter, there was one day that we are told concerning Peter that he walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. The writer to the Hebrews could say, make straight paths for your feet so that which is lame is not turned out of the way, but rather that it be healed. I can see many Christians, and at times I have to take a look at myself, with foot problems. We're lame. We're limping. We're not as sprightly in our spiritual walk as we used to be. And this man who was generally speaking a good king, this man Asa, we are told that for his last 2 years, he was crippled in his feet. There would have been royal functions that he couldn't attend. There would have been certain duties that pertained to the king that he wasn't able to follow through because he had lost some power to walk and he was crippled. I tell you, dear Christians, I say again, it's a serious problem if we get a foot problem and we are crippled in our walk. But then what about the bowel problem? And I'll have to be careful in my usage of words here, because I could make it very graphic, and I don't want to do that, even though the Bible makes it graphic. This was a man had laxity in his bowel. They fell out. You know exactly what that means without me making the description any more graphic. But the Bible tells us just the whole thing going out uncontrollably. Some kind of serious diverticulitis or dysentery or something like that. But you know, you could have a problem in your inward. The bowels in the Bible speaks about the emotion. If the walk speaks about my direction, I say, dear believers, again, always be careful about the direction of our feet. The bowels would speak about our desires, the innermost emotion. The Apostle Paul had healthy inwards. I was going to say healthy bowels. I'm talking in the figurative sense. He could say about the Philippian Christians, he says, I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. Many people, you know, get all tightened up in their emotions or all slackened. You know what I mean? I refrain from anything further. If in your bowels it's too tight, you could have a problem. If it's too loose, you could have a problem. I mean healthy. I mean in physical sense. And there can be problems get into our emotions. I know Christians, and they are so tightened up, and they become so bitter and so angry, and they have so many chips on their shoulder to change the figure, and they have so much bile gathered up in their tummy that they have a spiritual bowel problem, and they have a hatred and a spite against certain people. You see, we need to watch certain ailments, dear believers. The desires of your inwards and the direction of your walk. And then, of course, maybe the third man was more ill than them all. He got a leprosy in his head. The direction of our walk, the desire of our inward being, and then the decisions of our mind. You have often heard about good ministry from various parts of the Bible, and I'll not elaborate unduly upon it tonight, but just the importance of protecting the mind. You know, many Christians, they get a leprosy into their thinking. They start to go wrong in the top story. They get wrong thinking about other people. They become paranoid about certain things. They maybe get a wrong ideas in their understanding about some of the things of the Scriptures. I say again, dear Christians, just now in the meeting, would we all do a health check? Without being too severe, you just ask yourself, would I be walking on a chancy path? Younger believers, anyone here, and you're beginning to step out on a slippery slope, and you're not walking as you used to walk, would there be anyone here, and you would need to have your emotions sorted out? You know, watch your emotion. Watch our inward. And would there be any of us here and we have got a leprosy in our mind? You know, you can get this contamination. The leprosy can come into the mind from many different sources nowadays. I don't want constantly to be speaking about the use of the computer. But I would say that we could finger our way upon a keyboard and easily go into areas that could have a very defiling effect and bring a leprosy into our thinking that could introduce into our lives something that, as far as testimony would be concerned, would be fatal and something that would be terminal. We can never lose our salvation. Thank God for that. Serious sicknesses, conditions that have to be feared. But then I want to come to another side of things, because taking those three men again very quickly, I want to think about certain causes that have to be faced. You see, the three sicknesses that came upon these kings, they were a direct result of certain things that they did. Now, I'll go back to Asa. And there are very solemn principles. I'm not, because of time, I could elaborate and emphasize these, but I don't want to do that and tax your mind unduly, but I hope you'll think about them. The man Asa, well, he was a good man. For quite a number of years, he moved along a very steady course until there was a particular crisis came. Without the detail of it, the king of Israel came against him, and he bribed the king of Syria to give him some help. And the thing seemed to work out all right. But just after that, there was a prophet came to him. He said, Asa, listen, he said, the first great battle that you fought, he said, you cried to the Lord. You trusted in the Lord. And he said, there was a massive army, 1 million Ethiopians came against you. You cried to the Lord, you relied upon the Lord, and you won. He said, what happened this time? He said, instead of relying upon the Lord, you relied upon the king of Syria, and you gave him a break. He said, you've done foolishly. And he said, you're going to have wars. And he said, now, Asa, I want to give you a little bit of corrective minister. And here, lo and behold, our good King Asa didn't like it a bit. Didn't like it a bit. The first prophet that came to preach to him and encourage him and compliment him, Asa was very well pleased. But when this prophet came to him with a little bit of corrective ministry that just cut across what he was doing, the Bible tells us that he flew into a rage and he put the prophet into prison. Now that word prison is an unusual word. It's a word that means he put the prophet into the stocks. Same idea as Acts 16. And when he got this good prophet who had given the corrective ministry into the stocks, screwed them down, and he hurt his feet, he said, I'll put him out of commission. He'll not be running into my palace telling me that I've done foolishly. I don't have to listen to him. I'm the king around here. I'll lock him up and put his feet, give him something to think about instead of telling me that I've done wrong. And he put him in the stocks and hurt his feet. Aha. It wasn't too long until Asa couldn't walk. And he hurt the prophet's feet. But it all came back upon him. And that old verse that we read in a later part of the Bible is also sadly true. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Can I say to us all here tonight, never despise ministry that's faithfully given in the right spirit. If ministry cuts across your actions, don't take it out on the preacher. Don't fly into a rage. Don't become resentful. Asa will never forget, I hurt the prophet's feet, and I myself had crippled feet for the last 2 years of my life. It does the circle, and I say that our attitude to the Word of God will greatly dictate how we can walk. If I'm going to walk properly, if I'm going to have power to take steps that will be for the glory of God, it will to a large degree depend upon my reaction and my attitude to God's Word. I think it was very sad that a man who had been so helpful, so consistent, so powerful, he lost his power to stand and his power to walk in the last 2 years of his life. But he was reaping what he had sowed. There was a cause. It was his attitude to God's word. The second man, well, it wasn't so much in his case that he flew into a rage, and it wasn't his anger. He had a bowel problem. The Lord didn't smite him with cripple in his feet. It was a bowel problem. Not the direction of his feet, but the desires of his inward being. Will you say, what had happened to him? Well, you see, a little bit earlier in his life, he had given his affections to a fine young lady. She was the daughter of a very colourful paint shop called Jezebel. And into the kingdom of Judah, he introduced this young lady called Athaliah, the daughter of Jezebel. And he gave her her heart's affections, and he introduced into the kingdom of Judah a woman that almost destroyed the place. No surprise to me that that man received his plague in the very place where he had gone wrong. Can I speak tonight just quietly, without making a great statement about it? Speak to young brethren here. You watch. You watch your desires. Watch your walk. Be careful where you go. Let us all be careful. Asa's walk was damaged when he became an older man. But also be careful about your desires. Would there be any young brother here and you're dating a daughter of Jezebel? May I just briefly make an appeal concerning the unequal you? Be very careful about allowing your desires to become too lax and too loose. That's why he received a disease where his bowels were falling out uncontrollably, because the man hadn't been able to control the affections of his soul and the affections of his heart. In fact, I was going to, but well, maybe I will, for we have a minute here. There's one assembly in the New Testament. And it's a place called Corinth. And to that place, the Apostle Paul wrote two letters. And in those two letters, he identified these problems. If I can switch back for just the briefest second to Asa. You know, the Corinthians had a problem with their walk. The Apostle Paul says, look at all that strife among you. And he says, all that bickering. And that jealousy. And that envy. And he said, that little piece of party politics. He says, tell me this. He says, are you not just walking like men? He said, as I look at the assembly in Corinth, he said, I can see there's a problem with their feet. There's a problem with their walk. They're just walking like men. He said, that's how men of the world have competitions with each other. Men of the world have strife and jealousy. He said, you people are being affected in your assembly life by the very attitudes that mark the men of the world. You know, sometimes we walk like men. And the jealousy that we show is just the attitude of outside. And the politics out there can sometimes be replicated in some of the party politics in here. To that same assembly, the Apostle Paul said on another day, he said, you're straitened in your bowels. He said, you've got a bowel problem. He said, my heart's enlarged toward you. He said, I haven't changed about you. He said, I think as much of you and I yearn for you as much as I ever did. But he said, I can see that your relationship with me has become strained and you're straitened in your bowels. He says, you're not just as keen on my ministry as you used to be. And he said, your affections for me have become narrowed. He said, you have a bowel problem. And that's the very chapter I'm quoting now from 2 Corinthians chapter 6. That's the very chapter where the Apostle Paul says, be ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers. The strange thing is this, when they went off Paul, and they became so narrowed in their affections for Paul, that they became very broad in their affections for other things. And they were hobnobbing with idolatry. He said, I can notice this, that you've gone off me. But he said, you've started to have great associate. You know, I notice when certain people begin to do things that they know that you won't approve of, their friendship with you and their contact with you diminishes. And they become straitened in their bowels because they know that the principle, the practices and the associations that they are having will not sit comfortably with the principles that are loved by those who are spiritual. Wonder, is there anyone here and you're giving your affections in an unequal yoke, and you're reaching out to something with your very desires, and it wouldn't be compatible with what is spiritual and holy and what is God. That's what happened at Corinth. Wrong in their walk, wrong in their bowels. I'll come to the third man. Dear Uzziah, another man who was great and good, and many, many commendable things could be said about him. We were reminded about him on Saturday evening. When he became strong, he'd been marvellously helped. And when he became strong, it went to his head. I'm a big fella. Nobody tell me what to do. If I want to go into the temple to burn incense, I'll go into the temple to burn incense. There are 80 men and they stand against him, and they can't stop him. He said, I'm king here. I have fought battles. I have erected great buildings. I've expanded the kingdom. He said, I'm in charge around here, and whatever I want to do, I'm the big man here. I'm the boss. And his head got too big. And as soon as he crossed a certain boundary line, there was a swelling of leprosy that rose up in his very head. You know, dear Christians, my brother Mr. Hay mentioned it on Saturday night, and I just touch it again ever so briefly. May God preserve us from becoming proud in our thinking, hard in our affections, distorted in our walk, in some way proud, self-sufficient. You know, with Asa, it was his anger. With Jehoram, it was his association with the daughter of Jezebel. With Uzziah, it was his arrogance. And his whole thinking, the dear man, it had become distorted. Of course, there was a cause for that. He wanted to be priest as well as king. He said, I sit here in the corridors of power. And he said, I have civil responsibilities in this kingdom. But he said, to my civil responsibilities, I want to add some of those other responsibilities. I want to do it all. I'll be priest as well as king. What do you say? Is there anything wrong with that? Is it not God's intention that there should be a one man would be priest and king? Yes. Dear Christians, it's God's intention, but the only man that will combine those offices is the Lord Jesus himself. You know, never try to take the place that Christ should have. There's a fellow in the New Testament, his name is Diotrephes. I think he had leprosy in his thinking. He loved the preeminence, and he wanted a place of preeminence amongst the church that only Christ should have. And the man was seriously. We need to be careful about all these things, because if we get a foot problem, a bowel problem, a head problem, with each of these three men, sadly, it became terminal. In fact, the sad thing about dear Uzziah is this. He had the throne. He also wanted the temple. He said, I have one, but I want to have both. He crossed a boundary that God never intended him to cross, and he ended up losing both. Finished up in a several house, living away across at a corner of the city. He wasn't in the palace. He didn't have the throne. He wasn't in the temple. He didn't have the temple. The two that he aspired to, the both of them were lost. Isn't it great? Isn't it great just to just change the tempo for half a second? Isn't it great that Isaiah could say, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, and his train filled the temple. The very two things that Uzziah lost, the Lord still held them in the You know, if all men fail, thank God he will protect his own interests and will advance the cause of his son. Three conditions that need to be feared, and three causes that need to be faced. I wonder, are we all spiritually healthy? I hope the Lord, you'd be very careful now about these things. I know I've had to go through them quite quickly, and I think I'll just leave that part of my message there. I want to think, almost in closing, about one cure that can be found. You see, there was a fourth king took sick. And he also took terminally sick. It didn't seem like it. He just had a boil. But when he was beginning to suffer from this boil, again, probably a bit of pride, the pus arising on his skin, the pus of pride causing a swelling. Good King Hezekiah, again, very successful. There is no sin has so much pus as pride. And, well, it's not a very serious thing. It's just a boil. It's just a boil. It's not as bad as Asa's lameness. It's not as bad as Uzziah's leprosy. It's not as bad as Jehoram's bowel complaint. It's just a boil. And just when he was thinking, it's not too bad, there was a man came through the door. He said, I want to tell you, Hezekiah, set your house in order for you're going to die. He said, this is going to be fatal. What did Hezekiah do? Well, this is how he found the cure. He turned to the Lord. Turn to the Lord. That's the very thing that our good friend Asa didn't do. Tells us about Asa that when he took this problem in his feet, he sought the physicians, but he didn't turn to the Lord. If he had turned to the Lord, his crippled condition could have been cured. Jehoram never turned to the Lord, and Uzziah never turned to the Lord. In fact, Uzziah turned against the Lord, and he was quite arrogant about the whole thing. But as far as Hezekiah was concerned, he turned his face to the wall, and the Bible tells us that his very heart bled, and he cried to the Lord, and the Lord heard him, and the Lord healed him. And it thrills me, dear Christians, the Lord not only healed him, but he turned the clock back 15 years. That's a man who was going to die. And the clock turned back for 15 years. I would say, as I almost bring the meeting to a conclusion, I wonder what we would do with our illnesses. Is there anyone here suffering? Suffering from pride. Suffering from some of these other deviations. Some disease, some distortion, some spiritual disease. And you know that you're not well. Maybe it's a bad temper. Maybe it's a lying tongue. Maybe it's a carelessness in spiritual principles. I was talking about the Corinthians. You know, they had a great problem. I talked about their foot problem, walking as men, and their bowel problem, straightened in their bowels. The Apostle Paul told them they also had a head problem. He said, if any man thinketh, he standeth. He said, you Corinthians are so proud and self-sufficient, you think that you could stand when everyone else would fall. And when he was speaking to them, in fact, I'll just mention this quickly. When he was speaking to them about head covering, he said, that's a thing you need to be careful about. If any man see, Mr. Darby translates that, if any man think himself to be contentious, we have no such custom. When he was speaking about the silence of sisters, and he just had given that commandment. He said, if any man think himself to be spiritual or a prophet, let him acknowledge that the things that I write are the commandments of the Lord. You know, those two subjects, head covering and the silence of women in the assembly, those two subjects are greatly assailed in the days in which we live. People think we are mad. They would say, but those people are out of date. They belong to the age, the Victorian age of male superiority and chauvinism. They should dispense with those things and let themselves into the freedom of this modern age with all its liberalism. Well, you see, dear Christians, we could take those attitudes like most of Christendom around us, but if we did, we would have leprosy in our mind. Any man think? We have no such custom. If any man think himself to be spiritual, I hope the Lord will help us to watch those and be like Hezekiah, whatever the difficulty is. You see, we have a Savior. I was thinking today of that famous hymn of Henry XII's. I hear many of my brethren quote that little verse, when as a child time wept and crept and laughed and talked and so on. The man that wrote that, he also wrote another famous hymn about the physician of Galilee. And at even ere the sun did set, the sick, O Lord, around thee lay, with what divers ills they met, and with what blessing they went away. O Saviour, O Saviour, Lord, hear us now. Some are sick, and some are sad. Some have lost the love they had, and some have never loved thee well. Thy touch has still its ancient power. No word from thee can fruitless cup all. Hear us in this evening hour, and in thy mercy hear us all. There could be a Christian here with a heart problem. You know, when the Lord was here on earth, they brought on people with problems in their eyes, and problems in their ears, and problems of leprosy, and problems in their feet. They brought them all to Christ. A man that had a withered hand, a right hand. There could be a brother at this meeting tonight, and you've got a withered right hand. There's somebody in the assembly you wouldn't shake hands with. Problem in your hand. Someone you won't speak to. An impediment in your speech. I don't know. I could mention quite a number of ills. All I want to say is this. May God grant that we not leave them unattended. Leave them unattended like Asa, Jehoram, Uzziah. They could be fatal. But even though they're serious, if we do what Hezekiah did, thank God we can find a cure. He prayed. And dear brother, let me say again, once the Lord gives us healing touch in a believer's life, I'm not talking about sinners getting saved. We use the miracles like that. I'm not sure that that's the only use. Not sinners getting saved. I'm talking about diseased and defective believers getting healed. Recovered. Once we're recovered, who knows, but the clock could be turned back. We could maybe regain 15 years that have been lost. That's what the Lord did for Hezekiah. He said, man, you were sick. You cried to me in true repentance. I have not only healed you, but he said, I'll give you 15 years that you never thought you would have. Wouldn't it be great if in all our sickness, in all our frailty, in all our weakness, that we could turn to the Lord, see some of our distempers cured, and again see the clock turn back, and days of brightness, and health, and prosperity. I should say, just before I pray, and if my message has been a little bit negative, well, you'll forgive me for that. It's what I have to preach what you've got. And some boys preach what other men have, but you just have to preach your own and make the best of it. Let the other fellow sort their own out. Anyway, what I want to say is this. The second book of Chronicles, I made a statement earlier that strictly speaking is not correct. I said it went from Solomon to the captivity, going down into Babylon. Actually, it goes just a little further, because the last verses of 2 Chronicles chapter 36 give us the decree of Cyrus. And Cyrus says, if any of you men want to go back to your own land, let them go up. You know, the book of 2 Chronicles is down, 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 till there was no remedy. But thank God the last word of the book is up. They're coming up. It's the word Allah. If you talk to any Jew, one of the sweetest words in their language in our modern world is Aliyah. That's the going back to the land, the repatriation. We're going home. Aliyah, going up. They're always going up when they're going to the land. That's the last word of 2 Chronicles. And dear Christians, whatever downs we have, whatever spiritual diseases we suffer from, whatever declension there may be, thank God the last word for Christians will be up as well. It'll be rising. It won't always be going down. We'll soon hear that great word of the Song of Solomon, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. May God grant that we'll look up and that we will remember the day when we'll rise up. And may he preserve us. Now this is the point of my message. There are sicknesses that can be fatal dear Christians, you could have an illness, a spiritual illness. I'm not physical at all, not in my mind. You could have a spiritual illness that would have a terminal effect upon the assembly that you're associated with. It could be as bad as that. But if we are like Hezekiah, a cure could be granted and better days could be seen. Till there was no remedy, thank God there is still the possibility of recovery in the midst of it all, shall we pray. Our Father, we bow in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. We thank thee that thou art a God of loving kindness. Thou art a God of tender mercy. We thank thee that thou dost look upon us in our failure and in our weakness. And we pray that Hezekiah like, that we might turn to thee and we might be able to say, as that good man said, that we would go softly all the days of our lives. We thank thee for bringing us another year to the conference here in Lurgan. We thank thee for every spiritual favour that has been experienced as the different sessions have passed by. Remember the remaining meetings and grant, Lord, that if any need until now has not yet been met, that there will be a provision granted in these meetings that still remain. We pray for the three sessions tomorrow and right through until Thursday evening. And we look to thee that even in our hearts, in our souls, and in an assembly context, that thy healing touch might be known. Preserve us in our minds, and preserve us in our walk, and preserve us in our innermost desires and affections. We cry to thee in a world of many temptations, and we ask for thy keeping hand and thy blessing with thy children. Take us safely home. Many miles have to be travelled, and we look to thee that thy watchful eye will be upon every saint, and give us thy blessing externally and internally, as we enjoy it eternally, and give to thee our thanks in the Lord Jesus' precious name.